Coming up on podcast 1354, a new GM battery factory on US soil as part of $7 billion worth of investment announced yesterday. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the show today, we've got some pricing for the Kia EV6 in the US, Bentley going electric, and a new investigation into Tesla's passenger play option. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Wednesday, 26th of January. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. If you haven't checked out EV News Briefly, our new lunchtime early doors look at the headlines before I've written today's show. That goes out on YouTube around lunchtime in the UK. Should be breakfast time in the US, and it's on YouTube. So it's as what many people have been asking, please turn on your camera. Yes, I have. Welcome to a new Patreon producer and a former supporter of the podcast, Glenn Mason. It's always lovely to see people come back. You know, people come and go on Patreon for various reasons, and it's so good to have Glenn back supporting the podcast as well. Thank you so much, my friend. Okay, well, as rumoured, General Motors building a third battery factory in the US as part of a $7 billion investment in their EV manufacturing capabilities. It's going to be in Michigan, and they've called it the single largest investment announcement in General Motors history, according to The Verge. The company will spend the money on four manufacturing sites, a total of 4,000 new jobs, and retaining another 1,000 jobs in the state. The investment includes construction of a new battery cell plant in Lansing and the conversion of GM's assembly plant in Orion for production of the Chevy Silverado and the all-electric GMC Sierra, which we've not even seen yet. GM saying they'll spend $35 billion by 2025 on electric and autonomous, and I'd like to know the split in there. Maybe it's too intertwined to know what they're spending on each. I don't see how much money autonomy can cost, unless you're talking about, you know, a fleet of self-driving taxis. Maybe electric and autonomy is just the budget column where they put, you know, everything that they're doing next. It's a sign of GM's continued confidence in the growth of the EV market, despite in the US it's still only being 3% of the total market. If you look at other countries, you know, here it's well over 10%, in France and Germany around 20%, Norway of course 90% plug-in vehicles. And so if you look around the world, plenty of reasons to think that the US will be catching up very quickly. Well, GM has battery plants under construction already in Ohio and Tennessee, and has retooled a plant in Detroit where it started making the electric Hummer. It also plans to make electric vehicles in Ontario and in Mexico, according to the New York Times, which writes, GM's new Michigan battery plant, like GM's other battery plants, will be a joint venture between the automaker and LG. It'll be built on the site of an existing plant in Lansing at a cost of $2.6 billion and be shared between GM and LG. GM also investing $4 billion to enable a plant in the Orion Township. Now, they expect to add 2,350 jobs at the Orion facility, retaining another 1,000 jobs at the plant as the pickup production will start. GM expecting the Orion plant and the Detroit plant, which is otherwise known as Factory Zero, to eventually be able to make 600,000 full-size trucks a year. The company said that by the end of 2025, they will have the manufacturing capacity of 1 million EVs every single year. Not to say that they'll be making a million EVs, and actually the way that the EV world is, if you have capacity and you can get the batteries and the chips, you'll be selling a million of them. But that's at least the capacity. Yes, keen observers will note that that's what Tesla did in 2021, the year just gone. They did a million vehicles amongst just Fremont and China. That's without Berlin coming online. That's without Austin coming online. So, yep, GM very much still playing catch-up. The White House hosting General Motors and Ford today. As of when I'm recording, I didn't give you any advance notice of this because I didn't know. But the White House is hosting the chief execs of those companies to talk about the Build Back Better legislation. Mary Barra from General Motors and Ford's Jim Farley in attendance. Joe Biden saying yesterday that GM's announcement of $7 billion of investment in Michigan, adding those 4,000 jobs, was wonderful news. The proposal by the president increases the current tax credit of $7,500 up to $12,500. You get the full amount if your EV is made in a union-made, US-made vehicle, and a credit of $4,000 for used vehicles as well. The bill also would make GM and Tesla re-eligible for tax credits after they both hit the 200,000 vehicle cap limit previously. So fans of both of those companies should be rejoicing in this plan. Well, I did have one of my listeners send me an email this week, and the subject title was Build Back Worse, I think. I can clearly tell from that person's politics where they stand on the divide. But I'm not in the US. But from the far distance of being many thousands of miles away, it does seem like divide is the right word to use about US politics. I mean, yeah, we don't really have kind of as much of a kind of coalition style politics as mainland Europe does over here. We've still mainly got a two-party system, but it's still definitely not as hardcore. You know, you've got to root for one side as in the US. So not wanting to offend anybody, I tend to try and stay out of politics, but I think you can tell I lean to the left. Now we'll talk about LG's plant in Holland coming together, but not a done deal. According to a more local report, this one I found in the HollandSentinel.com website. So, uber local news for that local area, which I guess a local newspaper as well that's been around for well over 100 years, because I Googled, I Wikipedia'd what the Holland Sentinel is. They write that despite dirt already moving on the site of a proposed expansion for LG in Holland, they are still competing for the final blessing to the site. The state of Michigan is offering substantial incentives to LG for the project, but no official word on the final amount of incentives for that particular plant is expected until the state board meets and votes at the end of February. LG's battery making subsidiary LG Energy wants to build a second plant next to the primary building, a 1 million square foot building larger than the existing Holland plant, the total footprint of which will be 1.4 million square feet. And they've got 1,200 employees there at the moment, average wage $50,000, so good jobs in the local area. LG first opened that battery plant in 2010, and since then city officials have pretty much known that they were going to expand because they bought a lot of land to the north of that current facility. Now, Tesla fans will be looking forward to hearing Elon Musk back on the earnings call. Tesla announcing their fourth quarter, and therefore full year, 2021 financial results today after the markets close as usual. I'll give you all the details on tomorrow's podcast, and this is not a financial podcast, so it's my job to soak up about 12 hours worth of coverage I'll probably watch and listen to and then distill it into maybe one or two sentences of what you really need to know about those results. That's kind of my job on this podcast. The conference call with Elon Musk is expected to reveal more details about their product plan. That's why he's rejoining it. Not so much to talk about the numbers. Although 308,000 vehicles in the last quarter gave them a record year. Wall Street consensus saying that they should deliver about $17 billion in revenue. As for the earnings, well, it depends on supply chains and costs and their margins and investment in other products. We'll want to hear, I'm sure lots of people want to hear about the Model Y coming out of Austin, coming out of Berlin. I can't help but think that all of the convenient leaks over the last couple of days of, oh, look, this rogue employee took a picture of the Cybertruck and posted it. Isn't that convenient that there will be a focus on Cybertruck? And I'm disappointed by that, if there is, because the focus should be on Model Y. That's the vehicle that is being made. And we want to hear about the 4680 cells that could be going into the structural battery packs as well. Cybertruck, sure, lots of people are on the list, but if it's not coming until next year, then that'll be a distraction and that'll be a misfocus. The same as if we start talking about your semi-truck and roadster, and it's all nonsense. Model Y is where it's at, because that gets electric vehicles into as many driveways and hands as possible. They do give retail investors the opportunity to ask questions at say.com. Having a look at some of the big ones at the minute, one question says, what's the current volume of 4680 cells? Update us on the progress of in-house and structural battery pack production. That's a great question, by the way, because how's that pilot line doing? And will those cells start to be produced in bigger numbers soon? What's the yield like and when will they do that? Another question asks, how is the progress of the $25,000 compact car? Stupid question. That's the last thing that any Tesla investor should be thinking about at this stage. Look at all of the product roadmap of the vehicles they haven't even delivered yet and are nowhere near delivering. The Roadster, my goodness me, that is still a flight of fancy if they ever even deliver it. Semi-truck, Hey, we see the infrastructure for charging, the mega chargers going in at the Tesla factories and also at PepsiCo, one of their facilities. But still, no customer trucks, Cybertruck, no trucks in any driveway. In fact, what with this current series of pictures and things leaked of the Cybertruck this week, they even unveiled one, or they wheeled one out of a trailer at Giga Texas, or Giga Austin. Like, why is that? Why is the Cybertruck turning up in a trailer, in a truck, and being wheeled around? Like, after 2 years, that should be at least moving itself, shouldn't it? Like, you should drive that vehicle by now. That shouldn't be wheeled out the back of a truck. So anyway, they've got a lot of stuff to think about before the £25,000 or $25,000 compact car. Daft to even think about it at this stage. Another question about free cash flow. What will you do with all of your money, your big pile of cash? Yeah, I'd like to know that. And Tesla is growing rapidly, says this question. Is Tesla growing customer service at the same pace? And how do you plan to make better car service with your rate of growth? And that's a great question. Selling a million vehicles a year as of last year, maybe 1.4, 1.5 million vehicles this year. Tesla service is something that I see over and over again as either being utterly wonderful, where someone turns up to your door, maybe you're even at work, they let themselves into your car, or you let them in, they fix it, they go, and it's wonderful. Or, for goodness sake, I've just had a new car delivered and it's, you know, it's terrible. So, absolutely. And they always fix it, but that quality control, yeah, I'd love to see some words said about that as well and how they plan to grow service. That could be something that really hampers the brand if they end up getting a reputation for being low quality cars or unreliable or you can't get them fixed, because you know those German brands that have built up those reputations over the years are going to capitalize on that, whether it's true or not. Like, yeah, VWs go wrong, BMWs go wrong, Mercedes go wrong, but they've built up this kind of bulletproof reputation of reliability and prestige, and well, you know what, they'll work with that. So yeah, that's a really good question, and I'm looking forward to listening to that call later and bringing you the highlights tomorrow. Coming up soon on the podcast, we'll talk about the pricing in the US for the Kia EV6 and why electric car owners in the UK face a postcode lottery for charging on local chargers. I'll tell you what that's all about coming up. Now, just a reminder, by the way, you can check out the video version of this short podcast, EV News Briefly, started it 2 days ago on Monday, and it's something to enable people who don't have the free time in their day, the discretionary time to spend 25 minutes listening to a podcast about electric vehicles and the discussion topics that surround it. If you really want to kind of hit the headlines, check it out on the EV News Daily YouTube page. Now we'll talk about the agency in the US, the NHTSA, NHTSA, opening an evaluation, now officially into Tesla's passenger play feature. The capabilities of being able to play games while the vehicle is in motion on the central screen. It requires Tesla to submit information to the agency by the 4th of March, including details of all the cars that have this capability, even though Tesla have since enabled it and then switched it off when they realized, oh, hang on, this was a terrible idea. So they've now deactivated it, but still, they want to know all 800,000 cars' details and VIN numbers. That should be a database query. That should be 2 minutes, spit it out, send it off. But still, it's an inconvenience to Tesla, and I'm sure an inconvenience to the authorities as well, who say that following the opening of a preliminary evaluation of passenger play, Tesla informed the agency that it's changing the functionality of the feature in a new software update. It's locked and unusable when the vehicle's in motion. The agency maintains regular discussions with all manufacturers to discuss potential safety concerns of the systems, and including Tesla's response to our concerns about this feature, they say. So they've got a couple of a couple of months almost, now, what is that, like 5-6 weeks to submit all of the details and get them over to the NHTSA, who will look at this. And I don't know what they're going to do because Tesla have already deactivated the feature. And long-term listeners, you know my thoughts on this. I don't need to go over old ground. It was a stupid thing to enable. It's one of the things that frustrates me the most, that Tesla, sometimes there just seems to be no adults in the room. When someone suggests, oh, we could have that, you know, there is one central screen in that car. It can't be turned away from the driver. You can't have some sort of film on it so that the driver can't be distracted by it, because distracted driving kills people every year. And no, I don't buy, because Tesla fans have already messaged me to say, just don't look at the screen and just don't be distracted. That's all well and nice, but that's not real life. So I'm sorry that you're sitting in your mum's basement emailing me abuse, but that's not real life. Distracted driving's a real thing. Whether it's kids in the back misbehaving, you know, on their iPads and stuff, and you turn around for a second to tell them off, and it can cause an accident. So it's a real thing. Like, yes, we need to protect people, and we need to let people be responsible for their own driving. But still, it was a daft thing to enable people to play games. And just to have a button that says, are you the passenger? And if you are the driver, you just go, yes, I am, and then you can play a game. It's crazy. So a time when there is scrutiny on Tesla, and I don't want more scrutiny than they currently have, because we want to get them on, you know, let them make vehicles. It was a daft thing to enable, and now they've disabled it. So I don't know what the agency are going to do. Ultimately, they'll go, well, we did an investigation, and it's no longer available. So it's not a hardware fault. You can't force a recall. The whole thing seems daft and a waste of everyone's time to me. Now, Kia EV6 pricing in the US has been revealed. It's not quite as good as the Hyundai Ioniq 5. I don't know why they're not priced exactly the same, really. They are over here in the UK. It arrives at dealers in a few weeks. The Kia EV6 starts at $42,115 after destination, although the federal tax credit brings that down to $34,615. So you can get in an EV6 for $34,615. Good price, by the way. That is for a 58 kilowatt hour battery pack, same size as a Tesla Model 3 standard range battery pack size, and so that size of battery pack is good for so many people. Many will want the 77 kilowatt hour battery pack, though. That starts at $48,000 before incentives, and then later this year, of course, we get the EV6 GT. That is 215 horsepower on the rear motor, 362 on the rear motor, I think. And so that's going to give you like 580 odd horsepower and 0 to 60 in just over 3 seconds. It's going to be crazy fast. I'm interested in that car. One of my friends has bought two of them, by the way. I won't say who it is. Maybe I've said before on the podcast, but I won't say now. But he's on his second one. Not massively impressed, I would say. In the WhatsApp messages we share, he's had unreliability, the alarm going off for no reason, on a long journey, the heater failed halfway through, and it always goes back, and Kia are doing software updates, but he is not impressed at this stage. But, you know, it's a new car, new platform, and I know they're working on it. Now, a car that you simply cannot deliver unless it's perfect is a new Bentley. And Bentley Motors are going to spend 2.5 billion quid, that's about 3.4 billion US dollars, over the next decade to go fully electric. The investment includes R&D and the upgrades to their historic facility in Crewe, if you didn't know where Bentleys are made, of course owned by VW these days, though. Bentley's first EV is going to arrive in 2025, according to the company. It's a major move for the automaker, best known for their uber luxurious vehicles, writes CNBC.com. They say the change is a major move, which will get rid of 8 and 12 cylinder engines. At the minute, they offer a plug-in version of the Bentayga. That's the SUV. They are on a roll, a bit of a rip at the minute. They had about 15,000 vehicle sales last year, a third up on the previous year, which itself was a record. So even through COVID, they're selling more Bentleys than ever before. Yeah, that makes sense. I know people love their big 12-cylinder engines, but hey, it just makes sense to go electric. Once the battery technology for Bentley and for VW, and maybe by 2025, that is where you start to get some of the investment that VW have done into solid state filter through to those high-end vehicles, where you can spend more money, not just the, you know, the city runarounds, but next-gen battery technology going into those kind of cars. And that sorts out the range, the weight, the charging speed, all those things expected when you're spending 150, 200 grand on an all-electric car. Now, an article that I saw today in The Independent about EV owners facing a postcode lottery with local councils. I thought it was interesting. I better read this one, I thought. And as I read through it, I come to disagree with it, and I'll tell you why. The article says that 21 councils across England and Wales allow motorists to fill up for free, according to a survey done by British Gas, following 400 Freedom of Information requests put in by British Gas. Now, as you can imagine, I'm not a fan of any company really with gas in the title, but I didn't like this article at all. Drivers based outside of these 21 areas are charged for charging with up to £4 per kilowatt hour, this says, the worst being Bournemouth, Poole and Christchurch. I think this is wrong. I think what they're getting at is, and by the way, if you think I'm wrong on this, please correct me. Bournemouth, where I am, so Bournemouth, Poole, Christchurch, which is the local area I'm in, for better or worse, they say that that is one of the worst areas for charging, and charging for charging. I think they're looking at the old charger net, or whatever it was called, network, the one that was bought by BP, and they've just kind of left it to rot. The hardware's terrible. The council don't want to engage. BP clearly don't want to own that anymore. And that charges you, I think it's £4 for the first hour. Not that they work on any of the cars that I've ever had with a CCS connector. Now, my old Renault Zoes used to work. I think there's one around here that still works on AC. The screen is all smashed up, so you can't see the screen, but I know the sequence of buttons to push, and it'll still charge on AC. And obviously, it charges you when I had my BP Pulse card before I cancelled it. But those ones are £4 for the first hour. So how quickly can you charge? And that's, you know. So it's not £4 per kilowatt hour. I will say that is blatantly wrong, British Gas. You've employed a PR company or something. They've written you an article. They've put it out in your name. It's factually incorrect. Please correct me if you think I've made a mistake there, and I will correct it on the podcast. £4 per kilowatt hour is nonsense. I don't know anywhere that charges that. It says that to charge an average EV would cost £240. Why is a company called British Gas putting out so much incorrect information about EVs, almost like they don't want you to buy one? Why would they do that? Anyway, the figures were put together that praised Bridgend, Leeds and Woking for offering free charging at council sites. Lucy Simpson is the head of EV at British Gas, and she said, I quote, "The latest figures released today demonstrate the need for all UK councils to play their part in supporting the transition to electric vehicles. We have 21 progressive councils supporting local EV adoption. We expect a greater uptake of EVs to come through in those areas." I should invite her on the podcast and clear it up. I might be wrong, happily to admit that I'm wrong if I am. But why on earth do you want local councils to offer free charging? You absolutely don't. Like, free charging is just, it's just the devil, because people think they're entitled to it. So please, please, please don't ever think that free charging is a good idea. Charging networks often open up a new site and will offer it for a day or a week, and that's fine. It gets attention. But man, why would the local council offer free charging? That whole thing is dumb. This is a silly article to write or to try and get publicity for, because that is coming from council taxpayers' money. And what I want, well, I don't want the people living in my street who don't own an EV subsidising the free charging with my local council. I want, I don't know, a better bin collection or street lighting or a new playground refurbishment for local children or funding to go to schemes for kids to do something after school, not just hang around. And, you know, there's so many places that it could and should go if you have funding for anything, and it shouldn't be to give people with an electric vehicle free charging. It's the worst thing you should give people. We don't want free charging from local councils. Thank you. Anyway, I'll pop a link to that article in the show notes, and you can check that I'm on thinking along the right lines. Now, a story that I saw in Reuters today, a new EV company called Link, L-I-N-K, are going to be building a new $265 million EV assembly plant in the Mexican state of Puebla. Operations begin at the end of the year, making minibuses, cargo and passenger vans. I thought I'd report on that, just that I said that I've done it. If I don't do that, then I've missed it. But hey, with all these announcements, we'll wait and see. A company that does make plenty of vehicles, Oshkosh Defense Company, they make military vehicles for the US government, now making EVs and EV hybrids. They've called it the EJLTV, the Electric Joint Light Tactical Vehicle. It's a diesel-powered range extender. It'll go on electric, silent mode for 30 minutes, they say. I guess that depends on how fast you're driving it, surely. And it gets better fuel mileage because the engine's being used as a range extender. And so it's got better power capability, they say, than having it as a pure plug-in electric car when you're, I guess, in operations in theatre, and you might not always be able to get access to high-powered charging for EVs, if you know, for army vehicles. And whilst I could be flippant and say, oh, I have a solar array and it saves shipping diesel around the world, I guess in that kind of situation, for military operations, at least for the next few years, there is no greater energy density than combustion fuels. And that's an edge case that probably will stay with burning stuff. But hey, as a range extender, you can travel on electric. That does make sense. You can travel silently as well. And they're making, at the minute, it's not a production vehicle. It's kind of a prototype, but fantastic news. Right, final one. And I mentioned this on the podcast yesterday, so just a really quick mention again today. I've now had a chance to fully watch Björn Newland's video where he is charging his car and he comes across the VW ID Buzz. That's the California surf van covered in camouflage. He thought it was charging, but it wasn't because the charger, the tritium unit was broken. Unfortunately, I want to see how quick it was charging, but it was out of order. But he had a good poke around it, and only when he stuck his camera in the window to start filming the insides, I think did someone from VW or the driver say, oh, excuse me, could you not do that? I mean, hey, it's in public. So the polite answer would be, no, I'm going to carry on filming. But he wasn't. He was a gentleman and said, oh, of course, I'll walk away. But I don't know. I mean, they're taking the vehicle out to public charging stations. You can stick your camera through a window that's closed, you know, as in, you know, you can shoot that. It's in the public. So they asked him to stop, and he did. The battery in that, well, it could be anything up to 111 kilowatt hours, which is the maximum that the platform, the MEB platform, can take. We are going to see an unveiling of that in early March. But those vehicles are driving around now doing testing in Norway. They're covered in camo. I'll pop a link to a tweet that Volkswagen put out on the 21st of January, a little 30-second video of those vans leaving the factory, covered in their camouflage, to do some real-world testing. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. Tom Malogny's Lucid Air 70-mile-an-hour range test yielded a real-world range at speed of 500 miles in the new Lucid Air. It raises the bar by a huge amount, but my question to you is, does any EV really need 500 miles of range? Send me your thoughts. I'll read them out on Sunday. The address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thank you so much to everyone who reviews the show on Apple Podcasts. Got some lovely reviews lately. Thanks to our premium partners on Patreon as well. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley, he runs the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Check it out, richard@rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid. We'll be right back.